The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by AMS Media. And I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest, but you're going to have to wait a few more seconds to find out who it is. We are back with our second stream of today. Lots to get through, lots to discuss, as there always is when it comes to Arsenal and the transfer market. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Harry Simeu. As always, a big hello to those of you joining us in the live chat at the moment. Can see already there are plenty of you watching us live, and I'm delighted to be joined by, I would say, my favourite ever guest we've had on this podcast. I enjoyed our chat last time so much that I'm going to say that. I'm going to upset some of the others, but Adrian Clark, welcome back to the show.
Wow, I've got a lot to live up to this evening, haven't I? But yeah, I'll take that. Thank you very much, Harry. Good to be back on the show.
Great to have you back, my friend. It is absolutely our pleasure. We're delighted to have you back, to have your insight, to hear your opinions on the Arsenal, the club that we all love. As always, as I said right at the top of the stream, there is plenty to discuss. It's transfer silly season, as I like to call it. There are different rumours every day. It's very hard at times to pick out what is real and what is just, I guess, clickbait. So we're going to try our best to do that. We're going to try our very best to dissect the stories. And of course, we're interested to hear in what Adrian has to say on the matters. Now, Adrian, recently, Community Shield win, fantastic, having won the FA Cup, which kind of, I guess, salvaged a horrible season from an Arsenal perspective. Mm-hmm. We went out there at Wembley. Some of the players had just a day's training. We turned up against Liverpool. We put in a really, really positive defensive performance, I would say. Created a few chances as well in the first half. What did you make of it, and how much encouragement, in your opinion, should we take away from something like that?
I don't think we should take too much from it, because it was a friendly, really. I know that there was a trophy at stake, but I don't think either team was at full pelt. Liverpool, I felt, were a little bit sluggish, and I'm sure they'll sharpen up when the games start to really matter. But that aside, it was another really professional performance, wasn't it? I thought that Arsenal were really calm. I think that was the key takeaway for me. In possession, they were so calm and cool, and they didn't rush and they weren't flustered. And look, we've all seen Arsenal against Liverpool matches where that hasn't been the case, haven't we? Where they've pressed us and we've given the ball away a lot. That didn't happen in the game. I thought, and just like the cup games, the semi-final, the final of the FA Cup, we were really well organised. And then on the transitions, really sharp. I thought, every time we pinched the ball or every time we broke forward, we caused Liverpool problems. We've got the right players, I think, to play that way. So, no, lots and lots of positives. Wouldn't get too carried away. We need to find, obviously, a different way of playing against other teams that aren't going to dominate us. But I'm sure we'll find out what Arteta's got planned on that very soon.
Absolutely. Have you been surprised by what you've seen from Mikel Arteta so far? Because I think everybody had this preconception of Mikel Arteta that he was going to come in and, having worked under Pep Guardiola, it was going to be very much attack, attack, attack. And that's not been the case, has he? He's been very pragmatic. Mm. Were you expecting that from Mikel Arteta?
I was, because he's an intelligent football man. He's a thoughtful coach. And there was no, you can't jump that far ahead. he would like to play that way. I'm sure he would like Arsenal to be playing in a swashbuckling, attack-minded manner a la Manchester City. I think that's the aim long term. But right now, he knows that that's not possible, not against high-level opponents. He realises there's another way that Arsenal are going to have to go out and win those games. And he's worked really hard on it. It's excellent. And what I love is that he's identified the obvious areas of weakness. In the big games, against the best sides, Arsenal have been vulnerable. They've been open. And he's stopped that, hasn't he? He's found a system that works. It's a fantastic. We became a bit of a laughing stock at the way we were trying to play out from the back under Unai Emery. He's improved that massively. And it's not by chance. It's really clever. The movement and the players is quite sophisticated, and it's allowing us to play out from the back better. And then those all important transitions. It's such an important part of the modern game, especially when you don't dominate the ball. And he's worked very, very hard on making us better in those situations. So those three key areas were the first port of call. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next. And I think there will be plenty more.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about the playing out from the back, I've always... I think with Unai Emery, it was, like you said, it was a very different pattern of play, wasn't it? And with Mikel Arteta, he's happy for the sort of left-sided or right-sided centre-backs to pull out wide and still play these balls down the line. It looks as though there is no angle for those passes, but we keep doing it time and time again. And we've seen the joy from that. It's a very, as you said, very clever way of doing it, and it's working.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a bit too predictable under Unai Emery in regards to everyone in their positions. Very static start. Right, let's play out from the back. Let's take a risk or two. And it backfired on occasion. We saw that, didn't we? But under Arteta, it's clever because, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, but Maitland-Niles will basically just take up a position as a central midfielder. I mean, out of possession, he's a proper left wing back. But when we're playing out from the back, he just drops into the middle to give the back four, because that's what it turns into with Kieran Tierney as the left-sided defender. It gives them that extra outlet. So you've got four defenders spread out, including the keeper. So that's five players with three in front. You know, opposition teams have found it quite hard to pin us down the way that they used to. So yeah, I'd credit the coach for giving the players confidence, but also the structure to make it happen. We probably will concede the odd goal. I think I looked at the stats last season, right across the Premier League, and it still costs teams more goals than it does in terms of the goals that it creates. But and it will happen to Arsenal, I'm sure. But as we've seen in these big games, we're scoring goals that start with our goalkeeper. And that's, you know, it's really, really satisfying, I'd imagine, for Arteta and the coaching staff.
Absolutely. It's always great to see something that they've obviously put so much work in actually paying off. Let's talk a little bit about some of the incomings. Of course, Gabriel has signed for Arsenal now. It felt like we were waiting an age for that to be confirmed. It was the world's worst kept secret. We all knew it was done, but we were waiting and waiting.
Did you like the reveal? I thought it was a bit unique. Something different, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because I was supposed to be on a conference call at the time, actually. And I saw the video come up and I pressed play, and I was kind of, you know, when you're on a conference call and you've got it muted and you're not really listening and watching the video, and I almost got caught out because I was so engrossed in it. I almost
got busted.
Yeah, exactly. But Gabriel is in now. And of course, Saliba is in this season as well. Is this the start of a defensive overhaul at Arsenal? And do you, I know we expect some of the current defenders to maybe go out in the near future, but it looks as though Mikel Arteta is very much trying to rebuild that part of the team.
Yeah, again, I talked about, he's identified where the team needed to improve tactically, and he's working on that. You can see what he's trying. The recruitment tells its own story as well, doesn't it? We knew Saliba was coming back, but Gabriel was obviously the second one that's come in this summer outside of Willian. But yeah, it's long overdue, isn't it? I think we've needed defensive reinforcements for a while. Need to improve the quality of the defenders. But I like the fact that they're both young, really confident. They're both pretty quick. And I think that's key because our defence hasn't been that pacey. I think that much is fair to say since Koscielny went. we've been slow, and that's been a big problem, because we've been unable to press with as much intensity as you want, because when you press, everyone has to squeeze up. And of course, if you've got a slow defence, that's going to leave you vulnerable. So I think having that bit more athleticism at the back is going to be really, really important moving forward. So, yeah, I think in the end, it'll be a back four, possibly with Saliba and Gabriel as the two centre-halves. But for the here and now, I think it probably suit all parties, actually, that if we start with a back three, just continue, because it's working, isn't it? So I would imagine David Luiz in the middle and Gabriel on the left, possibly Saliba on the right. And that might free up Tierney to play as a left wing back. But then we know now, don't we, that Tierney can easily play left centre back. I mean, he's manager's dream, isn't he? He's a man for all seasons, Kieran Tierney. So all of a sudden, I think we're looking strong. Well, much stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. And we still look at some of those players and think, are they quite up to the standard required? Maybe not, but as a unit, we've improved defensively so much. And you said, it goes down to the coach, comes down to the structure, and it comes down, credit to the players as well, because they've obviously taken what he is trying to implement on board, and that is key. Moving on, Willian. Of course, Willian has joined Arsenal as well. What were your thoughts on that? I know a lot of Arsenal fans were worried about the length of the contract. I feel like sometimes as football fans, we need to stop trying to be accountants.
Yes.
Look at it for what it is. And it's Willian joining Arsenal. What have you made of it?
Well, it's not our money, is it? So, yeah, it doesn't bother me, the length of the contract. I get it. In the current climate, you're thinking, right, in that third year, is he going to provide value for money? And the chance are maybe not. But for the first 2 years, I think he will. And we've got him on a free transfer. It's important to remember that. You're not going to get many better players on a freebie than Willian, who is consistently in the Premier League, been one of the most creative players. And again, what was the big glaring problem for Arsenal last year was creating chances. We did make strides defensively towards the end, became a good counter-attacking side, but we need to have more, especially against the other teams in the division. And Willian scores goals, makes goals, creates a lot of chances. I looked at the stats recently for the Breakdown Live ahead of the Community Shield, and I looked at Arsenal's players and Chelsea's players combined in terms of chances created last season. Willian was way ahead of everybody else on both sides. So you know, we've acquired that player on a free. So for me, excellent signing. The strange one, in my view, is that he's at his best on the right. And Nicola Pepe is finished the season brilliantly, I thought, and it was a star of the final. And you think, are they going to be in competition? Because we know that Aubameyang is likely to play on the left. So where will he fit in? Will he play ahead of Pepe, or will we change the system and will he play as that number 10 moving forwards? I think there's a chance that will happen on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, my theory has kind of been why, obviously, Willian was available on a free transfer. It was convenient given the sort of circumstances at the moment. But I kind of had this theory that one of the reasons maybe Mikel Arteta has gone down the Willian route is because he does have that versatility to be able to, you know, if you play him on the right, he can do it. If you need to put him in that hole, he can also do that. And I'm sure that you would also trust Willian to probably operate from the left as well.
Yeah, so he did. I think I looked at it. Yeah, I looked at it last year. I think he had 5 games on the left for Chelsea, 5 in a kind of centralish position, but one of 2 players behind the striker. And then about, you know, the rest of his Premier League games, 18, 19, were on the right. So yeah, he prefers it there. What we could see, and don't rule this out, is Willian on the right and Pepe in support of the main striker, or even Pepe playing as a I don't know, a false 9 of sorts. We've seen Lacazette and Eddie Nketiah, even Joe Willock come off the bench and play as this sort of deep-lying number 9. I wouldn't be surprised if Pepe is experimented with in certain games in that role.
Yeah, absolutely. There is it gives Mikel Arteta lots of flexibility, doesn't it, having that sort of array of forward talent to select from. Another player that we haven't signed, but we're being heavily linked with is Thomas Partey. It's being widely reported that he is Arsenal's priority transfer target this summer. As we understand it at the moment, Atletico aren't budging. They want the 50 million euro release clause. He is just the type of profile of player that you probably feel Arsenal have been missing, though, in the middle of the park. Have they not in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, we can all see it, can't we? Look, I think that Granit Xhaka has excelled. So that's it's nothing on him. I think that he can fit into the new look Arsenal midfield, even if Partey comes. But yeah, just having that powerful, athletic, dynamic midfielder at the base of the midfield is been a missing ingredient, hasn't it? We've got good players there, good technical players. Haven't got a lot of legs. Let's be honest. The Xhaka-Sabias axis worked well for us towards the end, but neither are quick, neither are that sharp when it comes to recovery runs. And when I look at Partey and all of the targets actually that have been mentioned as midfield possibilities, they're all quick. They're all really, really strong and powerful. And you know, recently during the lockdown, I did some classic breakdowns of the old games, and just it just reminded me watching those how strong our central midfield always was. It was so strong, so powerful, physical, muscular, and Thomas Partey has got all those ingredients. Plus, he's got the technique to be an Arteta player and an Arsenal player. He's got the skill and the footwork. So for me, he is worth the money. He's definitely worth it. I just hope we can find some money down the back of the sofa or, you know, somehow accrue, you know, some cash via player sales to bring him in, because he would make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of the word from Spain is that Atletico are desperately trying to tie him down to a new contract, which would see that release clause increased dramatically. So if we're going to do it, it's something that we've got to get a bit of a move on. And I know that Arsenal are probably actively looking to move some people out in hope of at least bridging the gap between what we can afford and what they're asking for. In terms of a couple of other midfielders, I just wanted to get your take on. Obviously, Dani Ceballos is rumoured to be coming back. Are you looking forward to seeing Dani Ceballos in an Arsenal shirt for another season?
Yeah, I like him as a player. I think he's technically excellent, and he grew, didn't he? I thought he had a brilliant debut against Burnley, sensational, and then he flattened out, didn't he? It didn't really happen for him, but then he came on strong at the end of the season. I think he's not quite the type of player I imagined he would be in Arsenal colours. I thought he would score more goals. I thought he would break into the box more regularly, but it's turned out he's more of a deep lying guy that can keep the ball ticking over, which is good. And I like him, and I'm pleased to see or hear that he's likely to come back. I don't know if he's the man to take us forward as a team, but he's a great person to have around. And let's be honest, we don't have a great deal of strength in depth in central midfield at the moment. So if we get the players that I hope we get, maybe Ceballos would be on the bench. But he would be a very good bench player and someone that would no doubt contribute.
Yeah, and it feels like smart business. If Arsenal can secure it for another season on loan, that would be great. It would mean we're not shelling out an absolute fortune.
Yeah, he's clearly gifted. But I think you expect more goals and more assists, really, from a player of his talent. Maybe that will come now that he feels more at home in the Premier League. I certainly hope so. But the issue about his athleticism is something that unfortunately you can't do anything about. I had it myself. I wasn't a powerful player. You know, I was nippy, but I didn't have that great power and speed that a lot of other players in my position had. And unfortunately for Ceballos, you can't really work on that. And these when Arsenal lose the ball, he just hasn't got that speed to get back in time, which is why I think he played a more restrained role where he stayed deep. And from that deeper position, he could break up play really, really well. But in certain matches, we want him more advanced, of course.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably hopefully see a bit more of that, as you mentioned earlier, when we play against the so-called weaker sides and they come and they play with a low block, it automatically gives the likes of Ceballos freedom to get further up the field.
Yeah.
I mean, is there an argument when we talk about the sort of outputs in terms of his goals and assists that this current Mikel Arteta system is more built around allowing wing backs to push forward rather than the central midfielders, and that may have hindered him?
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. I think that's not an unfair comment. In the current formation, they just sit, don't they? But I feel that that's it's just he's working with the players that he's got at the moment. And he found a chemistry that worked in Xhaka and Ceballos. But because of their lack of speed, really, he made sure that they played deeper and they allowed the other players to go and attack when we turned the ball over, when we fed it into them. So, yeah, I think if we had a couple more dynamic players in the middle of the park, we would see players in the same positions arriving in the box. And I just feel we'll score a lot more goals if we have a central midfielder that arrives in the box. Aaron Ramsey did it brilliantly for us over time, didn't he? Just causing chaos and dragging defenders with him, even if he didn't score himself. So yeah, I think it's important, but I don't know if Ceballos is the number one guy to do that. There's probably someone else you might be bringing up shortly that might well do that if we were able to sign him.
May do indeed. Let's talk about a little bit about Matteo Guendouzi. He's a player who, you know, we had all of this stuff that went on after the Brighton game. We kind of have heard that there'd been sort of a couple of disagreements with Mikel Arteta along the way, which resulted in him being sort of cast aside out into the cold. Mikel Arteta spoke about him. I guess he suggested that he'd be given another chance. I find it hard to believe that Mikel Arteta has done a complete U-turn on Matteo Guendouzi, and his comments about, you know, what happened 2 weeks ago doesn't matter. That didn't quite wash with me. Am I being just a little bit sort of, I don't know, is it
cynical?
am I being cynical, or do you think it's Arsenal trying to not look desperate to move him on?
Maybe they are getting on fine. I genuinely don't know. I mean, I'm not at the club, not at the training ground, obviously, at the moment. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I don't imagine that anything greatly has changed. It looks to me he is one of the players that the manager has identified as being for sale, that we can bring in some cash to go and find reinforcements. I don't know whether it's, you know, football-wise what he's seen there or attitude. Personally, I just feel that Arteta's big on discipline and he's big on trust. And I feel that somewhere along the line, whether it was something he did on the pitch or off the pitch, that trust has been lost from Arteta's side, and that's the reason he's been cast aside. And yeah, I think it would be daft to just tell the world that he's completely ostracised and we're desperate to get rid of him, because that would clearly lower the price. So yeah, I think the strategy right now, if I was in his shoes, I'd be doing that anyway. I'd be saying, no, he's part of our plans and we're looking to reintegrate him, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's got a fresh slate, just to make it look that we're not desperate. But yeah, I think you probably hit the nail on the head initially.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Look, I hope he does come back into the side. I hope he does get back on track, because there were signs that he could turn into a really, really good player.
He's not a bad player. He's not a bad player at all. But the bottom line is, we've identified better players. And if it means we have to sell Guendouzi to get that player, then I think we have to do that. I don't think, given the current situation financially at the club, I don't think there's going to be a perfect world here. There's not going to be an ideal situation where we sign the players we want and we keep everybody that we want. There are going to be some good players, some players that might turn out to be absolute gems and kick on, maybe Serge Gnabry style, and come back to bite us. That might happen. But for the here and now, to bring in the players we need, then some are going to have to go.
Yeah, agreed. Houssem Aouar is another player that Arsenal have been heavily linked with. Is he a player that you've seen much of? Because I haven't seen a great deal of him.
Oh, I love him. Yeah, I love him. He's the guy I was talking about. He is a box-to-box midfielder. with real skill, electric turn of pace inside the, you know, inside the opposition half. He can scamper away from players. And without the ball as well, what I noticed in the Champions League was how quick he was to go and close players down. And we know that Arteta wants to press. He wants to win the ball in really good areas. And I just think he's got it all, really, in terms of being able to get in the faces of opponents and win it, and then deliver the right passes, the right pieces of skill, even good finishes. I remember first seeing him against City last year in the Champions League, and they were brilliant. They beat City. And I thought, who's this guy? I remembered him because I couldn't pronounce his name. And I just thought what an unusual name it was, and it stuck. But I was like, this kid can play. And from what I've seen, I don't see him every week clearly, but from what I've seen and what I gather, he's continuing to improve. Great age, 22. And for me, he would absolutely be on a par with Thomas Partey in terms of targets. I think that we need both types of players. And look, if we got both, it would be transformational on the side.
If we could only get one, though, who would you hang your hat on?
I think the team needs both. The team needs a defence, needs an athletic enforcer, and it also needs a box-to-box guy. As someone that's a bit that likes the attacking football, I think I would go for Aouar, but he would be my number one with Partey just behind. But yeah, I would love to see both come. And I'm really delighted actually that these are the two names being the most strongly linked, because they just tick so many boxes for what the team needs. So whoever is doing the recruitment, and we know that's a little bit of a long story at the moment, whoever is, running that ship, I think they've identified the right two players there.
Fingers crossed. If we got both, it would be amazing. If we got one, I'd be delighted as well. So let's see how that those situations develop. Just want to take a quick pause to say a massive thank you to those of you who are tuned in watching us live at the moment. There are over 400 of you tuned in to the stream at the moment. So if you haven't already, make sure you hit that like button. It is so, so important. If you've got any questions, stick them in the chat. We probably can squeeze a couple more questions in from the ones we've already got lined up. So get those in there now, and we'll come to those in a few minutes. If you're listening back on the audio as well, leave us a review and be sure to give Adrian a follow on Twitter as well. I'll leave his Twitter handle in the description. Right. Goalkeeping situation, Adrian. That's a big talking point at the moment. Big talking point. I think Martinez has done brilliantly since he's come in. I feel like it's been forgotten, though, that the reason he came in was because Bern Leno got injured and not because he was bad. Mm. And it feels like so many people have done this complete U-turn now, where they're saying, actually, Martinez is definitely my number one. And if I've got to move one on, I prefer to move on Leno. Where do you stand on this? Because I'm torn.
Yeah, it's really hard. Great for the club, great for Arteta to have such a choice. I think, Leno got runner-up in the Player of the Year, and that was for a reason. He was brilliant last year. He was superb. And, early on in the season, when the defence was in a real state, he saved us many, many times. So I'm a huge Bernd Leno fan. The bottom line, though, is Emi Martinez outshone him, I think, in his run of games. I think that he was even better. Sometimes you get a number two that comes in for the number one for a period of time, and they say, well, he didn't do anything wrong, but the other guy's better. So we're going to make that change. That's not the situation with Martinez. Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong, but he did so many things brilliantly. And that is the reason why I don't think you can drop him. If I was a footballer now, and if I was Martinez and I was left out of the Fulham game, I'd throw the towel in, because he could not do more in terms of hold on to the shirt. So, yeah, it's so hard. Personally, I hope they have a shootout in terms of, because we're going to have lots of Europa League games, Carabao Cup, we hope to go on a run in that. It's all going to happen before Christmas. And so there'll be plenty of games for the number two to play. They can effectively have a shootout, and the guy who's in the best form keeps the jersey in the Premier League from January onwards. That's an ideal situation. But if we need the funds and there's a huge offer comes in, then I guess one might go. My thing here is that Martinez has a bit more presence, a bit more, you know, he's dominates his box better. Both brilliant shot stoppers. But if we're talking about having to sell one, I probably would sell Leno because of the value. I think you'd make more money off Leno, which would then allow us to maybe go out and sign Aouar or Partey. So that's where I stand. I don't want either guy to leave. I think they're both brilliant. But if one goes, I just hope that we get top dollar because they're both, for me, Martinez has to be worth 25 now. If you're putting Aaron Ramsdale at 18 and a half, it's got to be worth it more than that. And Leno, I mean, Leno's better than Kepa. So, I mean, Kepa was clearly overpriced at 72, but for me, Leno has to be at least a £50 million goalkeeper. Yeah, so, you know.
It's such a tough one, isn't it? It's such a tough one. It is.
And there are people that say, Harry, that say, but we haven't seen Martinez in front of a crowd yet. And I get that. But I don't really think it matters. Players often thrive on crowds. He might be even better in front of a full house at Emirates Stadium. I don't think that that's something we should sort of use as a stick to beat him with. He's been flawless. And sometimes you just get lucky and you unearth a gem, don't you, that maybe we didn't realise they were as good as they are. And in Martinez, I'm seeing nothing to put me off of him. I mean, are you?
Yeah, I mean... No, I mean, from a style perspective, I am very much I prefer Martinez's style as a goalkeeper. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist with goalkeepers. I like them to be big, commanding, to come out, catch things. I feel that just breeds confidence into a defence. Rather, you know, one of the criticisms I would have of Bern Leno is that he isn't commanding enough. No. We've seen countless set pieces come in and he's just stood on his goal line. And I get that's the way he has been coached and that's the way he wants to play. But for me, I prefer Martinez's style. But I still have those doubts around A, seeing Martinez over a longer period of time. Because obviously it was after lockdown. I think he played, 6-7 games then. And then, you know, we've seen obviously the Community Shield and stuff. So my only doubt would be that. Is he going to maintain that level at which he's currently performing over the period of a season? The previous history tells us we don't know because we haven't seen it. So that's kind of
his stats were the best in the league in terms of save stats. So he produced special performances, and even in the Community Shield, he didn't have a lot to do, but when he was called upon, he made a couple of really big saves, didn't he? You can't leave him out. I think ideally you're looking to keep them both and see who's the best over the next 6 months and then make a call. But, you know, if we need to stump up some cash, one might go, I guess.
Yeah, it's dependent on what comes in terms of offers as well. You know, if we're talking about £10 million, then for Martinez, then I don't want him to go.
Well, I saw that and it was ludicrous. I mean, the guy is clearly got the potential to be a very, very special goalkeeper. We should not give him away.
Agreed. Right, let's go over to some of our Patreon questions because we've got a few that came through for you, Adrian, when we announced that you'd be on the show again. I think we're just going to pick a couple from the patrons and then we'll just pick one from the general chat as well. Brad asks, he says, my question for Adrian is this. If Arsenal fail to get the players that we need, who would you put the blame with, Edu, Arteta or the owner?
Oh, cheers. Yeah, someone who does a bit of work for the club. Yeah, I can't really be too critical. It wouldn't be Arteta's fault because it's not. I think we've seen already he's got great influence in terms of, you know, getting on the phone when you're allowed to contact these players, when you're allowed to talk to them. He'll get straight on the blower and persuade them. So I think Arteta would do all he can. But, you know, you would have to say that Edu, in his sort of enhanced role now, it's his responsibility, isn't it, to get these players in, really? Yeah. So I think it would fall on him. But then you have to look at the ownership and say, look, if Edu and Arteta are saying, look, just just a little bit more money and we can get the players we need to kick on, and we believe they'll take us into the Champions League. And if that they get a flat no on that, then that would be disappointing, wouldn't it? So, I think it would be nice, wouldn't it, for the owners to show a bit of flexibility. But in the midst of all of this, and I'm no financial expert, I do realise that Arsenal are walking a tightrope in terms of the financial fair play and what they're allowed to spend. Now, I think post-COVID, I would have thought everything would be lapsed a little bit in terms of spending restrictions, but we'll have to see. Personally, I think now's the time to strike when clubs are tightening their belts. If we can flex our muscles, we can potentially get the kind of players that others might ordinarily be in for, but they're holding back from. So for me, I would like us to go big this summer, but yeah, maybe it won't happen.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, of course. Next question is from Chris. He asks, is there any way back for Mesut Ozil, or is that the end of his Arsenal career?
Well, without knowing the relationship between Arteta and him, it's hard to say. I've always been an Ozil fan, and I love his ability. But I personally just feel that we've come to the end of the road, really, in terms of what he can provide and where Arteta's taking the team. So look, if he's to stay, I would love to see him reintegrated into the squad and used. I'd love nothing more than that. But personally, I feel like a break would be the best for both parties, really, because Mesut can't be having much fun sitting on the sidelines watching the team and having a player around the place that's feeling down is not great for the rest, because Mesut, I'm sure, is a very popular member of the dressing room. You don't want things to get unsavoury, do you? So, if they can find a way to get Mesut a new club, a new challenge, that would probably be best for all parties. That is my honest opinion. But if tomorrow we hear Mikel Arteta says, no, Mesut, I'm welcoming him back with open arms and he plays, I'll be delighted. I absolutely would. But in the current scenario, I think it's best to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly more to it than just the football as well. That interview that he gave to The Athletic a few weeks ago, for me, it revealed a lot of things that we kind of suspected were issues between Ozil and the club. We kind of got confirmation of that, I felt, in that interview. And it probably shows that the relationship is
Yeah, I think he's got some gripes with the club, and I understand that, and I think that they've got issues with him. Obviously, his availability hasn't been great, has it, over the last couple of years. Missed a lot of games through illness and injury as well. So, I think both parties are, you know, not as in love with each other as they once were. But look, it happens. We all come to the end of the road eventually. Great players of, you know, Vieira was immense for us, but you know, he wasn't really over the hill, and we sold him, and it just happened, because you have to make cold-hearted decisions sometimes for the benefit of the team moving forward. And I just sense that he's not the future.
Yeah, agreed. Just before we go to our final question for Adrian, guys, there are over 600 of you now tuned into this live stream, but we've only got 100 likes on YouTube. So if you haven't already, hit that like button. As I keep saying, it is so, so important for the channel and to get this video seen by as many people as possible. And Adrian is an excellent A-lister of a guest. And so we're keen to get
I don't know about that.
You are, my friend, you are. Right, final question. Just going to put it to you. This one comes from Nicholas. He asks, would you be looking to move on Lucas Torreira, given the reports that he's unsettled at Arsenal and would prefer a move back to Italy?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. But based on that, really, because if a player's not happy, if they're not, you know, not comfortable in the city, in the country, then you don't want to carry that player. It will affect their performances. I feel sorry for him, because I felt at the outset he was brilliant, just what the team needed. And then Unai Emery, I think then his form flattened out. And then Unai Emery started to use him as a box-to-box guy. And he's not a box-to-box guy. And in my opinion, that dented his confidence. And then he hasn't really been able to get that mojo back, has he? I think he's just felt a little bit flat. So yeah, I would move him on because he's still got, you know, a value, hasn't he, in the transfer market over in Italy. They rate him highly. And I think he's good. You know, I think he's a good player. But when you compare him to Thomas Partey and some of the other guys that play in that position, yeah, I think they're on a slight level above. So yeah, hopefully we can get some cash in for him, maybe some cash in for Guendouzi, and that should bring one of those two big guns in, and then you know, there may be others, I guess, that get moved around as well.
Fingers crossed that we'll be celebrating at the end of this transfer window. Although there's still a long way to go in this window, so we've got to be wary of that. It isn't.
Well, and we might see some surprises. I mean, we've seen Bayer in linked with moves, Maitland-Niles, Lacazette's been linked away. Look, we don't want these guys to leave. We don't. But there's going to be a shuffling. I'm sure of it, and it'll be fascinating to see where we end up at the close of the transfer window. But look, that's in the distance. For me now, it's all about concentrating on that first month of the season and continuing, you know, the winning habit, really. And I'm just fascinated to see how we're going to go about it when we play Fulham away from home, a match we should go and win. When we play West Ham at home, a match where we'll probably dominate the ball. How different will it be to what we've seen in these sort of famous cup victories? So, that's something to look out for in the weeks to come.
Definitely. Adrian, thank you so, so much for joining me, mate. I cannot thank you enough. A big thank you on behalf of all our listeners as well, because I know they'll be loving it. I can see from the numbers tuned in at the moment that they're all flocked to come and listen to what you had to say. So thank you so much. Yeah. Guys, give Adrian a follow. You'll find his Twitter handle in the description, and we'll be back very, very soon with more. So until next time, take care and stay safe.